Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. I am so, so excited for what God is doing in our midst as a people. I am excited that we are learning to seize every moment in the presence of God. I am excited that we're no longer holding back as a people because it's like we've been very stiff and very uptight as a people, but I can see that gradually we're loosening up, right? And we are learning to express ourselves in the presence of our Father. And as we continue to do that, every moment like that becomes an opportunity for a transaction. It becomes an opportunity for a transaction. Hallelujah. And so I want us to continue to take advantage of these opportunities. It's very, very, very important, because already if I were to shut this meeting down right now, I believe something has happened already. Hallelujah! Amen. I believe something has happened already. Please, I need your attention, everybody. If you're feeling sleepy, pinch yourself. I beg you, pinch yourself. Do not miss out on this part of the service. Hallelujah. And as we go through this session this morning, I want us to continue the transaction in the spirit. Let me just share this with us. A couple of times or severally, when I find myself in the presence, in the word session, the Holy Spirit will just take over, and as the word will be going, I will just be speaking in tongues and just be interacting with every word as it comes, you know. And that's what I would want us to do this morning. As the word is coming, just be interacting in the spirit. Be interacting in the spirit. And as you're doing that, nothing will escape you. As you're doing that, nothing will escape you. As you're doing that, the word will be finding expression in your life as you're doing that. And so that's what I want us to do. And it's going to help us bridge the gap between when we hear and when we become. Because we are so loaded. So many things are locked up on our spirit. But if you look at what we use in terms of what we experience compared to what is locked up in our spirit, is nothing to write home about. Hallelujah. The dimensions of God that we manifest and that we express on a daily basis is very little compared to what is locked up in our spirit. Very, very little. And so every time we come like this, every time we come for mandate summit, for dialogue session, worship night, worship evening, and all of our meetings, they provide us an opportunity for those dimensions to be stirred up. Hallelujah. And so every time we come to increase, we come to grow, we come to be empowered, to be stirred up, to be more. We come to be more. And one of the ways we can take advantage of all of this is as the word is coming, we're interacting. You're interacting with the spirit. You're interacting with the spirit. And it's very, very important. It's very, very important. And as we continue to do that, I see God accelerating that which He has started in our lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so today I had wanted us to continue and to review the knock number 4 and to look at the subject that is very important to God at this time, which is in gathering, harvest. But as I was preparing this morning, God paused me on that and said, go ahead and still talk about accessing divine resources. And he said that even for us to be able to go into the field, into the harvest, there's a need for us to understand this, that we are being sent. And God was saying that if we are not aware of the resources that are available to us and we do not know how to access these resources, even our functionality in the midst of the harvest will be defective. Because you will go into the field thinking you're the one who has sent yourself. Thinking that you're the one that will do the changing. Thinking that it's by your might and your power. But God is saying once you are aware of the divine resources that are available to you, that is where you can better serve my purposes, including harvest. Hallelujah. And remember what God also emphasized to us on Wednesday. He said that he's going to be using every aspect of our lives for harvest and gathering. So in other words, there is no aspect of your life that is not going to facilitate harvest in this season. And we need to have that understanding. And so we're looking at accessing divine resources today. And the very first slide that we have here is an old slide that I still want us to continue to focus on, and how I want us to continue to appreciate our lives. Like we have said over and again, that your life is a system. Your life is a system that is made up of interconnected parts. And every part is connected to the other. Hallelujah. Every part is connected to the other. There is no one that is all by itself. Everything is linked. You know, and so as you build your life, like we have said over and again, you have to pay attention to every area of your life. You can't afford to let any area of your life suffer. Because any part of your life that you don't pay adequate attention to, that is a part that the enemy will use to sneak up on you. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. It doesn't matter the number of scriptures you have crammed and you can quote. It doesn't matter how many hours you can pray. If there are certain areas of your life you live unattended to, the enemy will use that part of your life. And so you need to understand that your life is a system. And every part of your life is important. Every part is important. If as a minister, all I do is pray and do ministry, and I don't pay attention to my family, the enemy will use it against me. The enemy will use it against me. If as a minister, all I do is just pray, preach, and move around, and I don't pay attention to my career and to my finances, the enemy will use it to blackmail God to me. And so it's very, 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 very important that we pay attention to every part of our lives. And that is why you would see in bracket, you have what is there? Ministry, 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 ministry. Your career is a ministry. Your marriage is a ministry. Your academics, if you are in school, is a ministry. And you must see how they serve God's purpose. Your business is a ministry. And you must be able to appreciate how these different aspects of your life have been designed to serve God's purpose in the midst of the last days. Hallelujah. Every aspect of your life. And I want to say that because for us, we have dedicated our entire life to God, I want you to know that God is interested in every aspect of your life. He's interested in every aspect of your life. And we've been talking about implementing divine blueprint. And we can't finish this series without talking about accessing divine resources. And so every resource that we need to build every aspect of our lives that we have just seen has been provided for by God. Everything. Everything. And so we have no excuse. We can't give God any excuse not to build our lives according to revealed blueprint. We've been looking at the what of your life, the blueprint of your life. But God is saying to you that every resource that you need to build every aspect of your life according to revealed blueprint has been provided for. And as you continue to interact with the Holy Spirit as we go through this, and as you do that, what the Holy Spirit will be doing is, the Holy Spirit, beyond what I'm going to be saying, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit will begin to highlight to you where those resources are. Beyond what this light and today's message would cover, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you personally. Because there is always, what I'm speaking right now, I'm speaking generally, you know, to everybody. But as you partner with the Holy Spirit will begin to highlight to you what those resources are and where they are. For Lady Faith, where those resources are will be different from that of Wuyi, for instance. As she's interacting with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will be taking her on a journey. And before you know, the Holy Spirit will be saying, do you know that this skill that you've got, I have buried resources there for you? Do you know that this platform that you're operating with, this business that you have, there are resources that have been buried there? Do you know that this group that you are a part of, this kingdom community that you're a part of, there are resources that have been buried there for you? And for some of you, the Holy Spirit will begin to tell you that I have placed this in your hand. The reason you are not able to see very clearly is because you are taking these things for granted. It's because of your commitment to it. You know, so as you're just interacting, we'll just be interacting with the Holy Spirit as the word is coming. Because we don't have the time to hear a word today and then you're waiting for next 3 months before that word becomes a reality in your life. Where we are at right now is that as God speaks, we become. As he speaks, clarity comes. As he speaks, we step out in faith and we begin to act according to what we have heard. That's what we are trusting God for in this season. Hallelujah. And our anchor scripture, one of them is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Reading from New King James Version, says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power has given what? To us. All things that what? Pertain to life and godliness. So when you're talking about pertain to life, you're talking about different aspects of your life. Your academics, your career. Different aspects of the blueprint that God has revealed and is revealing to you. All that pertain to life and to godliness. So everything you need to be all that God has designed you to be, he has provided for. What you need for godliness, what you need for holiness, what you need for righteousness, what you need for purity, he has provided for. And I stand here to tell us this morning that every demand that God has placed on us and is placing on us, he has resourced us to meet. So God shows up in our generation and is defining for us that this is the kind of people I want to see emerge in the earth in the midst of the last days. And he has been defining the features of these people to us. And he said, these people are a remnant. They are a new breed. Their hallmark will be purity, holiness. Every resource that we need to live right today and to be everything God has designed us to be, he has provided for. So I want to say to you that you are resourced. Greatly resourced. Greatly resourced. No one here is helpless. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter your physical conditions. It doesn't matter the conditions of your birth. It doesn't matter. The blueprint that God has revealed to you and the blueprint that is clarifying to you, everything you need to build, he has provided for. He has provided for. And every time we gather, I want us to know this, that every time we come together, we come to stir up our spirit to connect with those resources. Every time we come together, there's always a stirring up because all of these things have been locked up in our spirit. They are locked up in our spirit. So as we interact with the word of God, as we come together, they are being stirred up and then your eyes are open. Then you are able to see where these resources are. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in who? In Christ. He has blessed us. So right now, in front of me are blessed people. Hallelujah. You are blessed. Lady D, you are blessed. Emmanuel, you are blessed. Esther, you are blessed. Chris, you are blessed. Faith, you are blessed. Everybody in this room is blessed. in Christ Jesus. As long as you have given your life to Christ, you are blessed. You are blessed in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. The challenge with most of us is that we do not know how to access these spiritual blessings. They are there. I stand here and I say to you that God did not design anybody to be poor. God did not design anybody to live a life of mediocrity. God designed all of us to live a life of impact. God designed all of us to be great. God designed all of us to live a life that will have an impact beyond us. Because greatness is not just about being successful. Greatness is being successful to the extent that your life becomes an impact. Your life becomes a blessing to other people. And that is how much God has blessed each and every one of us. That is how much God has blessed you. He says, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we need to take note of this. The spiritual resources that we have been ordained in heaven. And they've been ordained in heaven. And we access them through the knowledge of Him who called us. And so we can say that these spiritual resources have been encoded in Christ. They are encoded in Christ. They are encoded in Christ. And so the more of Him we know, the greater access we have to these resources. So we just have to decode these resources. And we have spoken about divine timing. All of the different parts of the series, they are not disconnected. Because divine timing also influences how you gain access to these resources. That's why people talk about being at the right place at the right time. Very, very important. They've been encoded in Christ. And so, like I said, accessing these divine resources for building our lives is only possible through the knowledge as well as a valid relationship with Christ. But I know and I trust that every one of us in this room has a valid relationship with Christ. But what we need to grow in is our knowledge of Christ and what He represents. And so I'm going to be staying on this scripture. Let me establish this first. The Living Bible translation that we have on this slide. 1 Peter 1 verses 2 and 3 says, do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better and what? And better. Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Learn to know Him better and better. For as you know Him better, He will give you through His great power everything you need for living a truly good life. For as you know Him better and better, He will give you through His great power everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares His own glory and His own goodness with us. What is His glory? His nature. His character. His divine nature and character. But we are able to access these resources through what? Our knowledge of Him. So as we grow in the knowledge of Christ, every aspect of our lives is expected to experience growth. That is why I said that for everyone who has a valid relationship with God, your path in life ought to be shining brighter and brighter. For everyone, as you are growing in the knowledge of Christ, every aspect of your life ought to be experiencing what? Growth. That's why I say for us believers, we're not supposed to have a better yesterday in every area of your life. Your marriage has been designed to get better. Your relationship with God has been designed to get better. And we have said this again before now, that the law that is at work in us is a different kind of law. It's the law of life in Christ Jesus. Not the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is what is operating in the world. And that is why you would see that everything in the world is subject to depreciation. Everything in the world is subject to death. But for us in the kingdom is life. That you may have life and life more abundantly. That is our reality. But this reality is locked in the knowledge of Christ. The challenge with the bulk of us in the church is that we are too lazy to chase that knowledge. And so a lot of believers will rather hire prayer contractors to take care of their issues. Whereas what you need is to embrace growth and maturity. A spiritual growth and maturity. This knowledge that we are talking about is not just studying the scriptures. It's not just attending meetings. It has to produce fruit. You have to grow. And so as you mature as a believer, everything around you gets better. Everything gets better. Your marriage, your relationships, the way you do business, the way you handle relationships around you, the way you conduct your life in the society. Everything ought to be getting better. And so I want to say this, that one of the proofs that you have a valid relationship with God and that you are working in maturity and you are growing in Him is the improvement that every area of your life experiences. You can't be growing in your knowledge of Christ and certain areas of your life are depreciating or retrogressing. No, it gets better and better. It gets better and better. It gets better and better. And that is why I always say this, that you need to embrace a system that teaches you to become, that equips you to become. You understand what I'm saying? See, because it's about what you know. It's about who you know. I mean the person of Christ, His values and His principles. It's all about knowledge. And this knowledge is not just head knowledge. It's the kind of knowledge that transforms you. As you are transformed, you are capacitated. You understand what I'm saying? Your ability to do relationship is enhanced. Your ability to nurture your marriage is enhanced. Your ability to manage resources committed to you is enhanced. You get better. And that's why we have this, our quarterly assessment. And that's why I keep saying that as you do that quarterly assessment, there is no way that the output of your life in this current quarter, it has to be much more than the previous quarter. Because you keep exposing yourself to greater knowledge. And so as you grow in the knowledge of Him, every area of your life ought to experience growth. And that is why any church system that keeps believers as babies spiritually is robbing them of their real divine blessings in Christ. And I want to say to us, let's continue to pursue knowledge. Knowledge of Christ. You see those other interventions. I mean, you can, you know, do all of those things, pray and all. The thing is this, and the perfect illustration for this is what we know and what we use every day. When people will say, teach me how to catch fish rather than give me fish. A lot of believers, our relationship with God and especially men of God is more about give me fish rather than teach me how to catch fish. So we can then submit prayer requests and expect someone to pray for us rather than grow in knowledge and be able to resolve the issues. And that is why you see the people who go for those prayer meetings, they don't cease. Because the reason why you need the prayer meeting, you've not been able to master. So you keep needing that kind of prayer meeting. You understand what I'm saying? Because those things, they don't produce life of Christ in you. They don't produce knowledge. No, they don't empower you. They can solve your problem in the interim, but you are not empowered. But the plan of God is that for every difficulty, every challenge, is for you to be empowered to solve them. But what believers prefer is to put in those prayer requests. You understand? But what God wants to do is empower you. That's why you see those people. This year, they are there. Next year, they are there. The next 10 years, they are still going to the same prayer meeting. The reason is because the problems don't end. Problems don't end. So what God wants to do is that he wants to continue to empower you to resolve them as they come. That's what God wants to do. But the challenge with believers is that they can't sit down to be taught. And so they would rather go for quick fixes. But quick fixes are not lasting fixes. They are not lasting solutions. Honestly, they are not lasting solutions. But as you submit yourself, as you are being built, as you are growing, your capacity to deal and resolve life issues will grow. They will grow. So if you bring problem A today and someone prays for you and you, there will be problem B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. So what you then keep doing, because you have not built capacity and stirred up the power of God in you to be able to overcome those issues, you will still be bringing the issues. Because issues will never stop coming up. So, but what God wants to do now is to empower the saints. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. But you would have to embrace. Look at what he says. He said, learn. You have to what? You have to learn. You have to sit down. You have to be taught. The dimensions of God on the inside of you will have to be stirred up. That's what happens when you learn. That's what happens when you sit down. They will be stirred up. But if you do not sit down to learn in order to know him better and better, you will continually and perpetually be dependent on prayer contractors. And prayer contractors are flourishing today, especially in Nigeria, because believers have chosen to remain babies. And also because majority of the leaders, for them to remain relevant, it's good to keep the people powerless. Because their relevance in the life of the people is how much of their problems they have capacity to solve. And as long as the people are ignorant, they can't pray for themselves. They don't know faith. They don't know prayer. They will perpetually need the man of God. And every now and then, those will begin to rise. They'll begin to show forth. And then you see them, they will run from this. This one that is raining. This one that is walking. When this one dies down, another one will rise. Everybody will run there. It will die down. Another one will rise. Oh, you've not seen anything yet. All the ones that are raining now, they will die down. Another one will rise. And you see people going there for prayers. And whereas what God wants to do is to empower his people. Empower them. That's what God wants to do. But you have to be willing to learn to know him better and better. For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. He didn't say go and pray, go and meet prayer contractors. He said, as you know him better. See, you see, that part of knowing him better is your own. You have to commit to knowing him better. You understand what I'm saying? You have to embrace systems that expose you to more of him. You understand what I'm saying? It's your responsibility. And as you know him better, you will then gain access to everything you need for living a truly good life. And he will not even stop there. He will share his divine nature with you in the process. Because the more of him you know, the more of him you become. The more of him you know, the more of him you become. And so we have to prioritize the knowledge of Christ. And that is the emphasis of God today, is to empower the saints. God wants to empower you. And let me say this. Do you know why God wants us to come to this place? Do you know why? Because his purpose for your life is beyond your needs. I'm serious.
But as long as we're grappling with those our tiny, little problems, we won't have time for his bigger plans. You understand what I'm saying? That is why he's raising a new generation now that will submit themselves to be equipped and be trained. All right? So that they'll be able to master those issues, personal issues in their lives. Because when you're able to master those personal issues in your life, you'll be able to deal with territories. God can tell you, pray for this nation. You can. There are people that they can't pray for any nation because they have mountain heap of problems, personal problems. There are people, once they step into their place of prayer, the list is long. So someone who always comes to God with problem, personal problem, is it the one that God will say, pray for someone else? No. And so the reason why we have to come to this place is because God wants to entrust to our generation a bigger purpose that is beyond us. You see, all those papers they stack up and they pray over, check them. None has to do with the kingdom of God. Everything is personal problem. I'm serious. Everything is personal problem. And as long as that is what everybody is about, we will not finish. We will not finish. That is why the emphasis right now is for the saints to be empowered. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why I keep saying that you need to know who you are. Can't go to places and they are boboing you. And you can't, you understand what I'm saying? You can't pray. You can't stay in the place of prayer. No. You have to be able to stay. You have to have staying power in the place of prayer. You have to understand faith. There are some believers right now, it's easier for them to ride on the faith of the man of God than their own faith in Christ Jesus. That's not the design. That's not the intent of God. You are powerful. You are formidable. It's in you. All the things that we'll be reading, it didn't say it's a man of God. Do you understand? Because it's good for us to be reading and rereading. You see, everything that he's saying is addressed to you. You understand what I'm saying? To you. He didn't put a man of God as an intermediary to say, okay, you can't access this power if you don't go through a man of God. No! The responsibility of everybody that is called into the fivefold is to equip. Those who have become prayer contractors, that is not the assignment. It's there. Ephesians 4. He called some to be what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry. Not to be a prayer contractor. Not to be the all-powerful. That's why I say God is no longer raising superstar men of God. You are what God is doing. You are what God is interested in. God wants the fullness of his life expressed in and through you. My assignment here is to unveil you to that. Is to train and equip you to become your own man of God. I am not saying we won't need them anymore. I'm not saying, you know, we will outgrow them. But I am saying that our primary assignment is to equip, is to train you, is for you to know your inheritance in God. Know the authority that you have. It's for you to wake up in the morning, order your day. It's for you to know God and see how God is operating. And then you begin to operate that way. That is it. But yes, I understand. I know that the flesh rather sit down, not commit to studying, not commit to learning, not commit to training, not commit to equipping, and just look up to one man that will just do like this and every problem is solved. Because like I've said, the reason why these people are still in business is because there is demand. It's a law of demand and supply. It's a law of demand and supply. As long as there is demand, there will always be a supply. You know, I don't know why I was studying. As I was studying this morning, God just, I don't think I want to go there. Took me to chapter 2 of this First Peter. But let me behave. Let me behave. Everything you have, my assignment is to help you stir those things up. But you have to be willing. You have to commit to being stirred up. You have to commit to being trained. You have to commit to being equipped. Everything is locked up on the inside of you. So learn to know him better and better. But as for as you know him better, he will give you through his great power everything you need for living a truly good life. Don't let anything rob you of your inheritance in God. Let me look for this in the Living Bible. Or let me quickly move to New King James. It's 2 Peter, right? I was just looking like something is off here. See, devil, you are a liar. We will get this message out. Haba, thank you. Who discovered that? Thank you. Just making me look like, and I'm just looking at all the translations. I'm not bringing what. 2 Peter. You want to hide. You're not hiding. We're bringing it out. Today, you will know what God has planned for you. So let me move to NIV. And then I will quickly rush to Living Bible. From verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So this was written to who? To believers. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through this, He has given us His what? His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. In other words, labor, work, make every effort. The challenge with a lot of believers is this part that they want to touch. They don't want to make effort. That's the challenge with us. We don't want to make effort. We just want to sit down, instant noodles, instant coffee, everything instant. But he's saying make every effort to add to your faith, because faith is not enough. You have to add to your faith goodness. And goodness, I was looking at it this morning, means morally good, virtuous. In other words, work on your character. So add to your faith goodness or good character. And to goodness, knowledge. So you have to seek knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. Perseverance. Persistence. Keep working at it. For some people, what stands between their greatness in life is laziness. Everybody is blessed. Every believer is blessed. But it is your responsibility to convert that blessing into greatness. It is your responsibility to convert that blessing into wealth. You have to what? Make the effort. You have to make the effort. You have to make the effort. There are people here, you've received blueprints. You've gotten that business idea. But you are still at the level where you are at because you have refused to take the necessary steps. There are people here, the first opposition that they encounter, they give up. There are people here, what is controlling them is their feelings. I feel like it today. If I'm excited about it today, I move. Once the excitement fades, they stop. And then they look for another meeting. They will go for another boot camp. They will go for another webinar. And the webinar will do what? Stir them up. And then they will start moving again. And after a while, they lose team. They give up. Then they start looking for another message. They start looking for another pastor. They start scrolling on social media. And say, okay, this one is, come and be empowered to fulfill your this. And they go there again. Can you just get out of that cycle? Can you just get out of that cycle? Can you stop allowing your feelings to dictate your movement? Can you just stop? Can you commit to that business and bring it to life? Can you put structures in place to get that thing done? that God will not do for you. What he has to do is that he has blessed you. The conversion of that blessing to what is tangible is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. He won't do it for you. He won't do it for you. It's our responsibility. So you have to add perseverance. You must not give up. You have to keep pressing. You have to keep pushing. He has given you all you need. And then godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you possess them in what? Increasing measure. So in other words, you don't stop growing. You don't stop seeking knowledge. You don't stop seeking God. You don't outgrow the structures that have been put in place to ensure your growth. You don't come to a place and say, I no longer need a teacher. You don't come to a place and say, I no longer need mentors. No, you don't stop growing. You don't stop growing. That is how you access the divine resources that God has made available to you. As you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, you need consistency to grow in knowledge. That is why in TF Church, you can't show up today and not show up tomorrow and not listen to you. You understand what I'm saying? Those knowledge gaps will affect you. Consistency is very important. Consistency is very important. And it says verse 9, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Let's quickly look at Living Bible, because this is where I'm stopping. Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know him better and better. For as you know him better, he will give you, through his great power, everything you need for living a truly good life. He even shares his own glory and his own goodness with us. And by that same mighty power, he has given us all the other rich and wonderful blessings he promised. For instance, the promise to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us. That's why I said that what you need for godliness. You understand what I'm saying? The promise to what? Save us from the corruption of our environment. So when believers say, it's hard. No, they've not contacted the right knowledge. When believers are calling Jesus and they are still stealing their employer's money, they've not contacted the right knowledge. It doesn't matter how dark the world is. God has promised to keep us away from the corruption of the earth. He's committed to that. And it's the right knowledge. It's the right knowledge of him that will help you escape the corruption that is in the world. It's the right knowledge. It's the right knowledge. Because he's committed. He has promised to save us from the lust and rottenness all around us and to give us his own character. But to obtain this gift, you need more than faith. You must also work hard to be good. You must work hard to be what? To be good. Fix your character. Fix your character. So if you have people over you that tell you the truth, that's part of working hard to be good. But if you are in a place where those rough are not mentioned, those issues are not touched, you just come, they massage your ego, massage your flesh, and you think everything is fine. Everything is not fine. Work on your character. You must work hard to be good. And even that is not enough. For then you must learn to know God better. Can you see what he's saying? To access these divine resources, you will do what? You must learn to do what? Know God better. He didn't say go and pray, go and hire prayer contractors better. He said know God better. Know God for yourself. Know God for yourself. He didn't say go and hip-hop teachers. Know God for yourself. Because the more of God you know, the more access you have to these divine resources. Know God better.
and discover what he wants you to do. Discover what he wants you to do. Next, learn to put aside your own desires so that you will become patient and godly, gladly letting God have his way with you. This will make possible the next step, which is for you to enjoy other people and to like them, and to find and finally you will grow to love them deeply. And he says, the more you go on in this way, the more you will grow strong spiritually. The more you go on in this way, the more you will do what? Grow strong spiritually and become what? Fruitful and useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, there are believers who are not useful to our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you be useful when you can't pray, when you are depending on others to pray for you? How can you be useful when you have not built capacity? How can you be useful? How can you be productive? And so for us to be effective, even in the harvest, because people who have not been able to even master, they are the ones that will be thinking about harvest. They won't be thinking of harvest. They are looking for the next prayer chain that is dealing with personal problems. And now God is saying, I want a people that will share my burden. I want the people that with, because they've been built, they now have capacity to deal with their personal problems. Now they can deal with my own desires. But as long as believers remain at this level where they don't have capacity to pray, no capacity to do anything on your own and all of that, God can't begin to say, do this for me. You can't begin to think about nations. You can't begin to think about what God wants. But it's our responsibility to put in the work, so that we can become productive for him. Verse 9 says, but anyone who fails to go after these additions to faith is blind indeed. You don't want to be blind. And that's my problem with religious Pentecostalism. It keeps the people blind. You're blind to the capacity that you carry. You're blind to the power that you carry. You're blind to the blessings that are locked up inside of you. You're blind to the things that you have capacity to do. That's what blindness does. Keeps you blind. You're powerful. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But religious spirits will not let you know that. It's just keep coming to the man of God. But right inside of you are locked up eternal resources. Inside of you. And I tell you, as you keep stirring them up, you would see what the outcome of your life would be. He said they are blind, or at least very short-sighted, and has forgotten that God delivered them from the old life of sin, so that now they can live a strong, good life for the Lord. So God wants you to do what? To live strong and good life for him. God does not want you to be weak. God does not want you to be begging for bread. God does not want any of his children to be. You understand what I'm saying? No, there's no glory in poverty. There's no glory in mediocrity. There's no glory in powerlessness. There's no glory in running helter-skelter. There's no glory in running from one prayer house to another. No, there's no glory in that. There's no glory in that. There's glory in you standing your ground. There's glory in you walking in faith. There's glory in you standing up and declaring the word of God. There's glory in you receiving the blueprint and stepping out to build it. There's glory in you taking your place as a son of God. There's no glory in being fearful. There's no glory in living in anxiety. There's no glory in feeling good today, feeling bad tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no glory. You think God just likes? No. That's why I say God is not. If God were to be emotionally unstable, the world would have scattered by now. Mood swing. Nigeria would have become a desert. And people would be like, God, what did you happen? I just felt that way. I felt low today. So that's the result of the way I felt. Because some of us, these are the things that are standing in the way of our harnessing the blessings that are on the inside of us. Your mood swings, your feelings. Hey, I don't feel like doing it. My body is tired. And God is just looking at you. Man, you don't even know how blessed you are. You don't know how blessed you are. And then you are looking for someone to stir you up again. And then before you know, that one will go down again. Then you are looking for another person to. You understand what I'm saying? That's not, guys. But thank God that we are growing out of that. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. You're blessed. In front of me are blessed people. You're blessed. Blessed.
That's what the word of God says. That's what the word of God says. You just need to start looking at yourself differently. And you need to start doing those things that will help you activate these blessings. You need to increase in knowledge. You need to grow in maturity. You need to embrace maturity. That's what you need.
Hallelujah. While we're seated, can we just interact with this and just pray? And I need us to repent. If you know you have not been optimizing the blessings of God that are lying dormant on the inside of you, there are blessings on the inside of you. And maturity demands that you don't keep those blessings locked up, because the blessings are not just meant for you. There are people that are tied to you. The blessings are not just for you. As you grow and as you continue to mature, what will get you out of bed every day and commit to that business, even when your body, when you're not feeling like it, is because of the destinies that are tied to that business. What will get you not to continue to say, oh, I don't feel like it. What will get you not to back down at the first sight or sight of the first discouragement? Is your understanding that those things that God has placed in you and on your hands are not about you. There's greatness on the inside of us. You don't want to waste this greatness. You don't want to waste these blessings. You don't want to remain slothful. God has blessed you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. But it's your responsibility to process the blessing and make them tangible. It's your responsibility to make these blessings tangible. There are solutions that are locked up on the inside of you. Some of you have received ideas. God has given you ideas and you're thinking it's just a thought process, your own thought process, so you can choose to discard them. And these are ideas that God himself has given you. And these ideas are not just about you, because there are people whose subsistence is tied to that idea. Their survival is tied to that idea. Their salvation is tied to that idea. Because God wants to use your business. He wants to use your career. He wants to use your academics. He wants to use your marriage to advance his kingdom. And I want each and every one of you to commit to taking those steps. And I want this to be locked up inside of your mind, inside of your subconscious mind, that you are blessed. You are a walking blessing. You are a talking blessing. You carry the eternal blessings of God on the inside of you. You are blessed. 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 You are blessed.
If there's anybody around you that you've ever admired, that you think he or she is walking in certain dimension of life, that person was not created to be more endowed than you. No. God blessed every one of us. Blessed every one of us. The difference is, what are you doing with that which God has put on the inside of you? What are you doing with that which he has even placed on your hands? Because the blessing is also in form of ideas, concepts. Some of us, we already have them, but we're not moving as we ought to move. God won't do that for you. God will not cause tree to grow and at the same time make furniture for you to sit on. You have to add to your faith perseverance. Add good character. Add good social skills. That's what the Bible was saying there. Relate with others well. Mutual love. Social skills. Add all of this to access that blessing that's on the inside of you. God has said to us that this year is going to be, this is a season of big results. This is a season of big results. Big results. What are you waiting for? I stand here to tell you, you don't need another prayer meeting. You don't need another prayer meeting. You don't need another powerful man of God in court to lay hands on you. You have everything that you need. 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 Father, we give you praise. We give you honor, Father. We repent from our slothfulness. We repent from our lack of faith. We repent from our ignorance of our blessing, of our eternal blessing in you. We repent. We repent. We repent. Now we know that we are blessed people, but we also know that it's our responsibility to convert that blessing into something tangible, that will be a blessing to other people, that will impact our world positively. Now we know. Now we know. We will begin to take the necessary steps, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah.